9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Well, hey, welcome to Out and About, and indeed, all systems are nominal as you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 on your FM dial. Perhaps you're streaming, and you could be streaming from any place in the world, maybe beyond the world. We don't know. We don't know. I'd like to welcome you all to Out and About this afternoon, this beautiful afternoon. You know, we had a lot of people in the studio. They emptied out, and we sent a search party out, I think, for one of the people. We're going to see how that goes. Maybe reporting live from the tundra. We'll hear how everything is going. But today, you know, it's not too early to start talking about our pledge drive, our autumn pledge drive. You know, we do it twice a year, spring and autumn. And last spring, we did a really cool thing where we did a collaboration between Hope House and Feast World Kitchen and us. So when anybody donated money, we wound up getting, oh, there's somebody trying to get in right now. You want to let them in, Carol? We would give... When anybody donated a membership, so that'd be $29, I think, back then what would happen was Hope House would be provided a meal from Feast World Kitchen. And it was pretty cool because we wound up kind of forging these relationships with each other and, you know, just cool people doing cool stuff. And so we have people coming and going, and I'm going to introduce people. Michael is not quite here yet. He said he was on the search party. And now he's being beckoned back in, out of the tundra. Cue the howling music, howling sound. But okay, I'm just gonna get started here. You know, so right now, and I'll be honest, who's in the studio right now? We have Rick Clark, founder of Give Back Spokane, or Giving Back.
Giving Back Spokane.
Giving. See, I had a Giving Back right
hey,
there.
Hey, it's all good.
But I felt like. I felt like Michael had said, give back.
Hey, I've been called worse.
So. Okay, all right. So we have Rick Clark, founder of Giving Back Spokane. And we have Travis Dickinson, who's the chef and also the owner of Cochinito Taqueria. See what I tried to do? I made you a co-owner of
Cochinito. I am a co-owner. There are two of us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it is the co-owner. Yep. Would you just own it? Would it just be Chinito then? Would
not be, no, probably be the same. Yep.
Yeah, and then we've got Carol Ellis with us today, who's a board member who does so much for us around here, and is probably one of the biggest cheerleaders KYRS has, I would say. And you even have like your cheerleader ponytails.
I just need pom-pom.
Pom-poms, yeah, yeah. And we've got Michael Moonbear, who runs this joint. So any complaints you have, you know, funnel them. He's here right now. So, that, you know, he's the guy putting this all together, I think. So kind of wanted to start out a little bit and talk about the partnership. Like, you know, how did it get started? How did this idea come about? And what is this going to entail? I would assume it's the same kind of deal when we have a membership and somebody pays for a membership, something good's going to happen for somebody else.
We're going to go back and forth a little bit. So this is something that we've done as a nonprofit here, Nonprofit Community Radio, is look for ways to support other local businesses because we're Spokane focused and local nonprofits. And so we've done partnerships in the past with Feast World Kitchen and Hope House, with the main market, and which food bank? Second Harvest Food Bank.
Second Harvest.
Okay. And so we're doing, we're looking around and trying to identify a local business that we would like to work with. And Carol actually identified Cochinito. And so we met with Travis and talked about what we were doing, and we'd like to, we already have something going on. We have a fund drive that's already happening. How can we expand the benefit of what we're doing to help other nonprofits and local businesses? So we talked to Travis, and he was on board and decided to identify giving out, Giving Back Spokane as who he would like to benefit. And so the way it works is for when people call in during our fund drive, then they make a donation for membership, and for each donation of $36 or more that we receive, then Cochinito will donate a meal to Giving Back Spokane. And so other, you know, other nonprofits and local businesses benefit at the same time.
That's so cool. And Travis Dickinson, how do you, how is it a specific meal, or how does that work? Or is it just a cash amount for a meal, or how do you look at it?
I think we're going to do it as a basically a cash amount card for a meal, but essentially it'll be the price of one of our two taco meals. So we need two tacos, rice, beans, and we'll kind of let Rick divvy those out on a, you know, as needed basis to folks in need. And, you know, we worked together on a couple different things, or rather he helped us with a couple different things through the whole COVID pandemic and all that. So
okay.
He was the first call I made, and I think he can identify some people that we can really help through this and do some good.
And, you know, and I don't know, people, I've frequent your establishment a lot. It's one of my favorite places to eat. I mean, and I always wind up kind of getting the same two tacos, but the Cochinito, that's a 10 North Post, right?
Yep.
And people probably drive by all the time. It has kind of like, if I remember right, it's like a pig with kind of like stylized
sugar skull style kind of pig logo.
Yeah, looking cool thing. And it's pretty neat way that you go in there and order food, and it's pretty low-key and really nice.
It's a service model. I mean, we built it to be approachable and just super casual. You know, my business partner and I have backgrounds in fine dining and doing that more kind of, you know, stuffy service model. And we saw that as being a little antiquated and wanted to do something where we would see people coming in a little more often, not just be a special occasion restaurant. So it's been our chance to use our fine dining chops, that same technique, quality of ingredients and all that, but do it in a little more fun, approachable ways.
Yeah. And I think giving somebody a really good meal is just like, just you're part of society, and, you know, and we all enjoy good things. We all enjoy good food. And that's, I think that's a beautiful thing. Rick, now you're the founder of Giving Back Spokane.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the how your organization came to be.
Oh boy, how long is the show? So real quick, 2015, we started filling backpacks. I was homeless myself, and I had actually enrolled at school at SCC after being a high school dropout for 28 years. And
wow.
I was living in my van. I was terrified of school, but I really had no other choice. And so long story short, I graduated with honors, got a scholarship to Gonzaga, went to Gonzaga and graduated. Mike Rowe came and paid off my tuition at Gonzaga and gave us $75,000 worth of backpack products.
Wow.
That filled four storage units. And then the pandemic hit. We'd given out 7,000 backpacks by the time the pandemic hit. And everybody had two or three backpacks. So we were already getting to the point where we're like, I don't know if these backpacks, even though they're full of great resources and stuff, I don't know if it's helping because the number of homelessness just kept increasing, right? So we were already kind of starting to figure out how are we going to rebrand and do maybe swim upstream and help in different ways. And if you guys remember in the middle of the pandemic, how scary that was, we were asked to stay home. The restaurants could not open their doors, period. Restaurant owners are, I'm going to try not to get choked up. They're very unique individuals that they take care of the community all the time with no questions asked when it comes to fundraisers and just taking care of their staff, making sure everybody's happy. And this was the first time in their careers that their back was against the wall and they didn't even know how to react. And so they were trying to react like they normally do, and they couldn't stand up. They couldn't help anyone. And so we were able to raise $250,000 in the eye of the worst days we've ever faced in 112 nights. I did a 15-minute video every night for 112 nights. We raised $250,000, and we helped keep 203 restaurants' doors open during the pandemic. And Travis's restaurant was one of those. I didn't know a restaurant owner before all this happened. By looking at me, obviously I've been to a few restaurants, but I didn't understand the culture and the love that these business owners have. And so we're talking years later, Travis reaches out to me and says, hey, I'm going to be a part of this thing with the radio station, and I want you to be the fundraiser. And so to me, it's very personal. It means a lot because it wasn't just a random thing that Travis just said. It was a partnership, kind of an unspoken friendship that we've had since the pandemic. Like, I've got your back, you have my back. I don't care how bad the days get, we're going to get through this. And so we're going to give meals, special meals, that some people haven't eaten since maybe they were housed, maybe when they were younger, their grandma made these tacos.
Yeah.
Maybe it reminds them of those days of being at home. Those are things that you can't put money on. You can't put a value on. They're just extremely special. So I know I'm getting choked. The older I get, I cry a lot. But I understand that it's 125, 150 meals. That's not a million meals, but that's 125 people we get to touch their heart. Yeah. And like you said, a good meal is like a hug. And some people need a hug right now worse than anything. And so if these meals can hug those people, I want to be in all in 100%. So that's why I'm here today.
Yeah. And Travis, you know, I think when I was in college and in high school, I worked at Denny's. I was a Denny's cook, mm-hmm. and I worked there for 6 years. And I always felt like it's such a gift. And back then, I don't know how it is now, but back then you made stuff by scratch and all that. And it was just when I would look out and I would see people eating my food, I had a real connection with people. And I just thought, this is such a almost like an honorable place to be, like an honor to be doing this for other people. And I just can't imagine how it must have been to have the shoe on the other foot where somebody is helping take care of you in this thing. Yeah. That must have been very powerful.
It was awesome for us. And, you know, Giving Back Spokane was huge. And there was a bunch of other people. I mean, this community really stepped up as a whole for for the restaurants, for the small businesses. I mean, we had a lot of people come in and all of a sudden do promotions for us. And yeah. Like Rick said, it's always been the other way around. So
yeah,
we didn't know how to ask for help. We didn't really know what help we needed because nobody knew what was coming down the pipe. Nobody knew what was going to happen next. But to have some people just show up completely unsolicited that just had our backs, you're looking around like, what are the strings? You know, what are we supposed to do here? Who do we got to pay back for this? And, you know, we didn't. And that was awesome because we did need it. I mean, we still need it. It's a hard industry. But like you said, it's a grind every day. It's a tough business to run. It's scary in a good week. But when you look out across that dining room and you see somebody's smiling face eating the thing you've created, a lot of times that fixes all the bad. That takes all the stress away. You know,
and you have the added responsibility of not just working there, but you have folks who work for you. And I can, you know, and that's always, I feel like in the food service industry, I think if you want to teach people or teach empathy, I think people need to work in a restaurant for a while. Yeah. And I think that goes both ways because it's a tough job. It's a tough job.
Yeah. And that was a time where we felt the need to step up and take care of our own. You know, we saw that, you know, keeping the doors open for to-go only is not going to pay a staff of 35 people. So how do we do this? And we all had to get really creative and find ways to balance the things, balance the unemployment or the other things we could do, the jobs they could tackle, some of the loans and things out there. And, you know, I feel like we did a pretty good job of retaining our staff, making sure they had food on the table, making sure their needs were taken care of, and also keeping our doors open through a tough time. But with the help of, you know, people like Rick and Giving Back Spokane and some of the other folks that stepped up, that was the only way we were going to get it done through that. So yeah, we're incredibly grateful.
Yeah. Well, and I think for me, at least from my perspective, it sure seems to fit what we try to do here at KYRS as far as bring, you know, keep things local and also to, you know, we bring stuff in, but we also put stuff out. And I guess for Carol and Michael, I mean, how did this whole idea come about of like tying in businesses with charitable organizations? Was that just sort of came to the top of your head, or you seen this before?
Well, Michael had told me about prior relationships. So when I came on board, literally, I wanted to find, you know, well, what was possible. And the reason I picked Coach Anita is because I knew their startup story and I knew it was a Spokane story and I knew they survived and I had only read about Rick. I'm just pleased to meet Rick today. And the good thing about Coach Anita is it's fun and affordable, but it's trendy. When you go in, there's young people there. I just love to see young people having a good time, talking, eating their food, and they're not on their cell phones. This is one of my joys.
Yeah.
And when you walk in, you're always greeted, and the people that take your order and the people that serve your order are just kind people. And, you know, we just so need that in Spokane. Places to go. There's a line on weekends. If you want to get in early, go early on a weekend.
Yeah.
But I just knew Cochinito had good vibes.
That's the way I would put it, good vibes. And Michael, do you have anything to add to that as far as, you know, the fit with KYRS in the community?
This is an idea that I put out years ago when I was we were back in our previous location at the community building, and I was the underwriting coordinator there, and put together the first partnership for a fund drive that I was underwriting coordinator and program director with the Maine Market and Second Harvest Food Bank. And I looked at this as a way for, it's part of a social contract that I think that we all have, being local businesses, local nonprofits, you know, these organizations helping to work together to support our community and find places that are in need and do something impactful and important. And by ourselves, we can't do that. You can do a little bit, but when you work together as we are here with Cochinito and Giving Back Spokane, then you can do a lot more. You can really make much more of an impact. So we've been very, very fortunate that people are so receptive to this, and especially to be able to work with these two now. This is one of the, talking with both of you and then listening to your stories and thinking about what we're doing here, and it's just like, oh, I'm going to start crying. Say, you're going to make me cry, Rick. Because right in the room, there's such a really good feeling about what this, you know, what this will bring forth.
Yeah. And speaking for my little part that I have here is that I feel like I really am grateful for both of you that, you know, you're going to help out our station to get people to donate money, because I get the gift of putting out talk and music to people to listen to and hopefully enjoy, you know, and I just think that's the best example of a community to me, I think. Now, Travis, you had Carol kind of made an allusion a little bit, or just kind of a little segue into like your startup story. What is your startup story here in the local community?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the long story is, you know, this was always something I knew I wanted to do. I was a chef in the Portland, Oregon area for about 15 years. I grew up in the Spokane, Post Falls specifically area, and knew that I wanted to come back here to do it. You know, Portland was such a big, crazy market, and I just wanted to get back home and raise a family, do all that fun stuff. So started at Clover Restaurant, which was formerly up by Gonzaga.
Oh, I remember.
Ran into an old high school acquaintance of mine, Justin, who was then the general manager there, and kind of hit it off. And as we got more comfortable, I started kind of letting him know, hey, my plan's to maybe not be here forever and kind of do my own thing, and this is what it is. And, you know, after a lot of late nights over quite a few beers and just talking it over, we decided, hey, maybe we should go into this thing together. So we really did, and just shoestrung it together with what little we had. I mean, we grinded the floors in there, we slapped up the paint, we built the walls, we did just about everything we could to make it work, and had no idea what we were getting into. You know, just like everybody, we opened those doors with almost nothing in the bank account and had a really remarkable first few years. I mean, Spokane came out and supported us huge, which is why this is all so important to us. You know, like this community has had our back from day one, and you know, when you're in the restaurant industry, at least at the level we are, you don't have the bank account to go out and make giant cash contributions or donations in the way that you would like to. But some of this stuff, you know, partnering with others, using just a little bit of food and a little bit of time to make a bigger impact is the way that we can show thanks for how we were able to grow this thing. And, you know, we're about almost 7 years in now. We've got another location out in Hayden, Idaho that's just about 2 years old at this point. So we've been able to grow it from nothing, and this community's pushed us through some crazy times, so we're incredibly grateful.
Hey, you guys are really on the leading edge of this kind of the street taco vibe, and I feel like, and not only that, but you keep pioneering it and making adjustments and upgrading things. And
keep trying. It gets boring to do the same thing every single day.
And that's the truth. Huh?
We press a lot of those tortillas by hand every day, so we need to keep creative to break the monotony, just not just for ourselves or our guests, but also for our staff. I mean, we've got incredibly talented people working for us that need some artistic outlet. So if we stop trying.
Did you bring any tacos today by any chance?
I didn't. I rushed over from the Hayden store, and it was just enough time to get into this interview.
I really appreciate it. And Rick, now you not only helped out local restaurants. What are some other projects that Giving Back Spokane has been involved in?
Well, with the power of social media, we're able to do things today that we could never do before. And so with
50,000 followers on our, you know, nonprofit page just here in Spokane, when we put out an ask, people roll their sleeves up and it can be taken care of almost instantly. And so a good example is that of that is we raised $90,000 in 3 weeks to pay for 1,500 kids all summer long to eat through the brand new Bite to Go program that's never been done in the summertime. And so Bite to Go approached me and said, "We know you can raise the money. Would you be interested in this?" I was a kid who grew up hungry here. And I said, "Where do I sign?" And it took 3 weeks. And we took care of all that many kids all summer long. We just took 70 kids to the mall and gave them each a $500 Visa card and let them shop for brand new school clothes.
Wow.
These are kids who are living at campgrounds. These are kids who are living in cars with their families, and they've never had new clothes before. And we didn't give them a voucher. It wasn't a bracelet saying, "I'm poor." They got a Visa card like everybody else in the mall. So dignity is a huge part of what we do, because I remember being that kid, and no matter how much help I got, I knew that you knew that I needed help, and that made me feel gross, right? So we're trying to fix that, because right now the stigma isn't as bad as it was. So we're able to talk about it.
Right. And what is the Bite to Go program then?
So the Bite to Go program, all year long, kids can go on a Friday, get a bag of food from their pantry at school, and go home and have food for the weekend. Because when I was a kid, I hated weekends because I starved all weekend and I couldn't wait to get to school to get my free meal.
Yeah.
So now they have a program that feeds thousands and thousands of kids all year long on the weekends. But we decided to do a summer program for the first time, and the Spokane community absolutely loved the idea and opened their wallets, and we did it in 3 weeks. That's ridiculous. 90 grand in 3 weeks. And we've done that like three or four times. Like,
wow. I'm feeling super inspired. So much so that I'm going to do my 20 minute after the hour stuff right now, and then we'll be back and we're going to talk more, because we've got a lot more ground to cover, and we're going to hopefully getting you guys a little bit excited for the autumn fun drive, because that'll be coming up and it'll be great. So here we go. We're going to break for our 20 minute stuff, and I'm going to start with a little music, and I'll load up the computer here.
Hotel Sheets in downtown Plunkettville. The Lincoln Broadcasting Company presents the music of Pete DeAngelis and his loyal Plunkettvillians. Here in the beautiful gold, yellow, copper, steel, iron ballroom of the Hotel Sheets in downtown Plunkettville, overlooking the uptown section of downtown Pottstown. Stay with us, won't you, and enjoy the sweetest music this side of the Monongahela River. 1 mile high, 2.5 blocks from the center of old New Orleans. Oh, there's gaiety, merriment, and dancing in the Hotel Sheets nightly. Now, to get things underway, Pete and his loyal banditos play a medley of old standard favorites, commencing with "Your Red Scarf Matches Your Eyes," "Close Cover Before Striking," "Your Father Had the Shipfitter Blues," and "Loving You Has Made Me Bananas." This beautiful picture and lovely lyric portrayed vocally by Dickie Ryan. Oh, your red scarf matches your eyes. You closed your cover before striking. Father had the shipfitter blues. Loving you has made me bananas. Oh, your red scarf matches your eyes. You closed your cover before striking. Father had the shipfitter blues. Loving you has made me bananas. Oh, you burnt your finger that evening while my back was turned. I asked the waiter for iodine, but I dined all alone.
Your red scarf matches your eyes.
Oh, you burnt your finger that evening while my back was turned. I asked the waiter for iodine, but I dined all alone.
Your red scarf matches your eyes.
You closed your cover before striking.
Your father had a
you has made me bananas.
Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. for Solidarity Spokane, the Inland Northwest's local labor hour, hosted by Cat Sabotage, elevating the voices of everyday workers and worker organizations, fighting for your rights in the workplace and fostering community solidarity. Join us here to reclaim control over your own destiny by reclaiming the conditions and products of your labor. That's Mondays at 4 p.m. here on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio. An injury to one is an injury to all.
Hey, this is DJ Downlow from Inside the Hype Radio. Thousands of people choose KYRS as their radio station every week, and we want you to be a part of our family. Just text GIVE KYRS to the number 44321 and make KYRS your radio station.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for September 9th through the 12th. Monday, open mic with Ico Connections, Madrona Hollow, and Ben 10 at the Red Room. Imagine Jazz with Rob Sheps at the Bad Seed and open mic at Live Entertainment. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, acoustic jam session at Mode in Liberty Lake, Brandon Hart at Big Sky Drinkery, and Ron Green at the Osprey. Wednesday, Carly and Katie May at Trailbreaker Cider, Betsy Rogue and Weeby Jammin' at the Kendall Yards Night Market, Nate Ostrander at the Bearded Ginger, Kelly Hunt with Brandon Day at Hamilton Studio, the Rusty Jackson Band at the Valley Eagles, Black Tusk, POTUS, and others at the Big Dipper, open mic with Derek Hart featuring Tabitha Smith at the Checkerboard, and open jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Michael Valley at Arborcrest, Bay 7 at Bolos, Villa Blues and Jazz at Amaru's, and Calling All Captains and Pulling for Victory at the Big Dipper. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
The Planetary Society was founded in 1980 to give anyone from anywhere in the world an active role in advancing space exploration. Today, the Planetary Society continues the work begun by Carl Sagan under the leadership of Bill Nye as the world's and largest and most influential nonprofit space organization, featuring interactive ways to learn about space and its exploration. Information online at planetary.org. Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. And we are back. Welcome, everybody. I've got a packed house in here today. We've got KYRS board member Carol Ellis. We've got Travis Dickinson, who's the chef and owner of Cochinito, or co-owner of Cochinito. Taqueria, 10 North Post. We've got Rick Clark, who is the founder of Giving Back Spokane. And your office, I looked this up, 5428 South Regal. Does that sound right?
That's our P.O. box. So if you go there, that's the post office. Okay. So don't go there.
Okay. Yeah. So you can go there, but just not to go see Rick. And then we've got station manager Michael Moonbear, and we are talking about the autumn fund drive that's coming up and a partnership that we're all involved in with KYRS, Cochinito, Taqueria, and the Giving Back Spokane folks. And it's so funny, as often happens during the break, a great conversation started here about issues in Spokane. And I actually have that one as one of my questions, because in the paper this morning, you were actually in the paper this morning, Travis, weren't you?
No, but I was saying I was called for an interview on the way here with the spokesman, just on the wake of the news of another restaurant shutting down and just kind of a press conference.
And I think that it's all about, we were talking a little bit about the downtown Spokane stuff, and everybody certainly has a lot of empathy. And Rick, but you were talking a little bit about for empathy for the homeless and also empathy for the businesses, which are really the generator of income and jobs in our community and everything else. Like we talked a little bit earlier about working in restaurant business, and that really does give you empathy for people just by creating and providing people meals. And you talked a little bit. I wish we could just have the microphone on there, because it's a great conversation. Rick, a little bit about, I think Carol asked you what your plans were for the winter. We'll just pretend. We had a rehearsal. What are your plans for the winter for your organization?
Well, I mean, in the winter and the summers, we have extreme weather here, and it's not new to anybody. I mean, if you've lived here longer than 5 years, you know that every winter it gets brutally cold sometimes, and in the summer it gets extremely hot. And so what I want to see more of is more of a foundation plan set in stone so that every year we have something ready. We have places to go for people to warm up. We have places to go in the summer for people to cool down. It seems like we reinvent the wheel every year, so we start the program, you know, right as it's getting hot or it's getting cold. And unfortunately, we have people that die on the streets because of it, because we're not prepared. So just being prepared, and part of that is just getting the right people at the table, people who want to get in the arena with us and make real actions, make changes. We're not trying to benefit ourselves. We're really trying to just save lives. So our group will just spend this winter doing what we always do, which is just, you know, getting people the knowledge to know where they can go be warm, feeding people, you know, buying blankets and whatever we need, moving people from outside on a -2 degree night to a shelter where they can be warm and not die. I mean, it's simple stuff. It really isn't complicated.
Right. And you talked a little bit about conversations you've had with folks about, you know, not really having a reason.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So we did a research thing when I was at Gonzaga. I got to take about 10 students out with me, and we talked to people who were homeless holding signs downtown. And one thing that really stood out was that people threw stuff at us from their cars. Even though I'm a college student, I was getting things thrown at me from cars. People were yelling, "Get a job." That was Spokane's favorite thing to yell out the window, was "Get a job." They thought that was going to fix everything. And so I really started to see how hard it is to be homeless in Spokane. It's not fun. People don't really want to be homeless, right, like a lot of people might say they do. And a lot of people said, Rick, more than one person approached me and said, "Rick, I don't want to live. I wish that I could go to sleep under this bridge and just not wake up. I don't have it in me to kill myself necessarily, but I just wish I could be done." And if you've ever been that down and out, if you've ever hated yourself, you don't care what other people think about you. So if you litter or you go to the bathroom in public, you don't care what people think because you don't like yourself. So right. Our goal is to go out and give people a purpose to get up, to like themselves, to go, be proud of something, be a part of something.
Yeah.
I'm living proof. I was in my van. I was asked to leave a restaurant downtown years ago because I'd stayed too long. I was embarrassed. I felt gross. And I left the restaurant. 5 years later, I'm bringing them a check for $2,500 to keep their doors open. They didn't remember who I was. And I didn't tell them because I didn't feel it was appropriate. But the difference was I was the same person. The difference was I had zero friends and zero connections. And now I have 100,000 people that connect with me. And so that connection piece is going to save this town. But you can throw money at stuff, you can create programs, you can change laws, but until you connect with a person and give them a reason to be a part of the society that's going on around them, we're going to spin our wheels every single year.
I was a paramedic and fire captain for the city in the West Central neighborhood for about 20 years. You know, one of the things that I would run into, well, of course, our bread and butter were a lot of the homeless folks. And you would kind of, it was almost a double-edged sword sometimes because, you know, we would always treat people pretty nice. And you'd have folks that, I would ask them where they came from because I could notice like an accent. Usually a lot of folks from southern states and Midwest states I would hear from, and they would say, I've been all over the place. You know, I had a hip replacement in St. Louis. I've had this done in Phoenix and on and on and on. And then they would come, but I have never been treated better than I'm treated in Spokane. And, you know, like, I'm glad because personally as a human being, I want to treat you well, but it's also like all these places that aren't treating you well, when you go to the places that treat you well, then there's an issue there, I feel like, right? And that's like, you know, in the paper this morning, I thought it was really interesting article because it's like, how do you fix this? Where do you start? And I think where you say about having a reason to get up in the morning and do something is a big part of that. And I always, when I talked to people who had made messes in front of businesses, I would say, okay, you're an adult person. Now you're going to here's a bag, clean up the mess that you made. Now, I don't know if they really did or not, but I felt like that's how you talk to other adults. You know, I mean, you have to have, they're not pets, they're not children, They're adults.
I've met published authors out on the streets. I've met people who were nurses, yeah. teachers. I met a man who his entire family was killed in a car wreck, and he was never housed again after that. He oh. lost his mind and walked out of his house and was never housed again. Wow. So I think people need to understand it's not just drug and alcohol. Yes, there's a lot of drug and alcohol issues. And sometimes you turn to the drug and alcohol issues because you lost your family or because you had trauma that had nothing to do with drug and alcohol. But everyone has a different story, and yeah. the sooner we can get everybody to understand that, I think the better we're going to be. Because when those people were just yelling out their windows, get a job, that meant that that's what they thought we were just lazy and didn't want to work. So that's their mentality of what they think everybody, and we're in 2024 now. You can't just take a whole class of people and say they're all the same.
No,
we're better than that. We're farther down the road than that. And so we have to consider everybody's story. And some of them are just absolutely heartbreaking. And some of them are people that don't have the will to do anything. And so
yeah.
it takes a special strong person to dig down inside of them and not get angry at that person, because it is easy to get upset and angry and frustrated, especially a business owner who's dealt with it over and over and over again. But it takes a really strong person to be able to say, okay, they must have experienced some trauma at some point, and I need to understand a little bit of what's going on, not just assume things.
Yeah, yeah. And do you feel, Travis, that there's in downtown, and we're gonna get back to talking about the partnership, but I feel like this is really newsworthy because it was in the news this morning. You know, I walk every place, so I walk from the South Hill through, you know, down. Cross 3rd, 2nd, down. Sometimes I walk by your business. Usually I stick on Lincoln. To me, it seems like as you get closer to like River Park Square and kind of where you guys are, it seems like it's a little bit better than, say, like where Zona Blanca is. Or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think Zona Blanca was in a little tougher of a neighborhood, and I feel for them because the location they moved out of before this one was a little bit of the same.
Oh, that was really bad.
And that's, yeah. you know, that's Spokane, not just downtown, but all over. I mean, Spokane's a city of pockets. You can be walking through any neighborhood here and go into different tax brackets every third block. You know, it's just sort of built that way. For us downtown, you know, having the STA Plaza by us has come with its fair share of, you know, some issues and some things going on down there. I mean, we're sort of at that center hub of downtown activity, but it just comes in waves. And, you know, it's like I was asked on the interview this morning, you know, are we doing enough about it? What's the solution? I don't think it's that simple. You know, it's not news to anybody that's a growing situation, and things have definitely turned in the last few years in this post-pandemic world. It's different down there, and there's a lot more struggles that come with it. And yeah, you're constantly walking that line of balance, you know, between empathy for the folks that are out there on the streets and what's going on in their world, and also just protecting our business and our client base and how we do things. And it's a super fine line, and it's one I don't have all the answers for, but I definitely see it growing down there, and I hope that we can find some solutions for the better. I wish I had the answers, but I'd be getting paid a lot more if I did. But yeah, it's just an ever-changing thing, and everybody we meet, whether good or bad, that's on the streets out in front of there. I mean, I have friends that I grew up with that are living out on the streets of Spokane right now that I see on a regular basis, and then people that I don't know that come in, wander in, looking for a glass of water or maybe something else. And, you know, it's like Rick said, it's always a different story. It's always a different thing. Nobody, you can't just pigeonhole it into one, you know, one specific crisis. So it's...
And it almost seems like it would be hard to say Spokane solved the problem, because it's not like we've got like a brick wall around us. You know, it's like a national thing, you know. And so to me, it's like I love this idea of the partnership and you guys working together, you know, to help folks on the street, to help folks who are down and out. And you know, and a lot of that is just a reflection of who we are as human beings, and giving somebody a good meal, that could be the reason, you know,
absolutely,
to get up the next morning and say, I want to make a meal like this, or I know what it felt like to have somebody give me something. And so that's what I really like about these partnerships. Not that we're going to solve anything. I just felt like we just kind of needed to have that conversation, but really because we're going to do good things as human beings together. And I love that you guys are friends. I just think that's so cool, you know?
Yeah. And Spokane's watching. People are watching us. You know, they want to know. Imagine every 2 years the leadership changes and there's new agendas. And like, that's the hard thing to do, to run a city with different, you know, ideas. And And so Spokane's constantly watching the community, not just people who are struggling, but people who are doing well are watching. And so when they see things like these partnerships happen, it just builds that faith in their heart again that, okay, we're still doing good. Like, it's not as bad as maybe some, because if you spend 3 days at work talking about the bad stuff, you come home, you start thinking, man, there's just only bad out there. But I guarantee if you train your mind to start looking for those little awesome things that happened throughout the day, pretty soon you look for those things first. And that's what we want to help change the culture. Like, we don't want to be so down and out that we're just like, we don't give anybody a chance. We've already set our mind up. Like, we want to keep that open mind, but at the same time, there's a lot going on in Spokane. It's, we're not a little city anymore.
Right. And it's hard when people say, you know, I have friends, family mostly, that'll say, I never go downtown. It's so dirty or whatever. I'm like, I walk all over downtown. And yes, there are dirty, there's sometimes you see dirty stuff, but it is so worth it to go downtown and have a great meal. Have a great meal, walk around the park. I come to this beautiful library. There's so much going on downtown that I feel like people are afraid by things that they shouldn't be afraid of too. And that's another thing, is having so many people who are enjoying a place that sort of makes people who are out to cause problems, makes them hit the road too, you know? So Carol, you're smiling there.
Well, on my way walking here from near to where KORS used to be housed, I met two homeless people, one with a skateboard, and we smiled, and one of them said, are you having a great day? And I said, yes, hope you are too. I mean, like, if there's an atmosphere like there is in this room right now, Maeve, that you've created, an atmosphere of listening and caring and imagining what might be, we just, things do happen positively.
I agree.
I want to challenge your listeners. The next time you go to a red light and there's a guy standing there with a cardboard sign, he's 4 feet from you, instead of rolling your window up and acting like you're playing with your radio just to kind of get by until the light turns green, roll your window down and say hello. One word. You don't have to start a whole conversation. As you get better, you'll be able to actually... I have great conversations now, you know, that nobody's ever jumped in my car. Nobody's ever... They're usually in shock that you're even being nice to them.
Yeah.
And so their tone changes. They're like, I'll say nice shoes. I like your hair. Like, I mean, they're people like us. They need those compliments. They need that too. But I think people are just... We're so afraid that it's like we're just kind of boxing them out. And I challenge everybody to just try a little bit. Just try a little bit. Try it.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice. I like that. Why don't we... We're going to do our 20-minute to the hour stuff. But why don't we, before we do that, why don't we tell people how they can find out more about Giving Back Spokane?
Sure. So we have a brand new website. It's gbspokane.org. And that's where you're going to find how we started out, the pandemic, where we are now, and where we want to be. So it's got everything in the world there. But mainly, everything's done on Facebook. So Giving Back Spokane, three words, Facebook. We have 36,000 followers. It's just a place that you can definitely go for positivity. We don't necessarily want your dollar. We're not asking for money. We want you to go there if it's a place that you just need to have a little reprieve and like take a break from the negative, because it's all positive stuff. Anything that happens positive, we're kind of sharing it on that page.
So that's pretty cool. Okay. We're going to be right back, folks, so please stay tuned.
Hey there, folks. Join me for a musical trip along Americana Avenue. Now on Wednesday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Hear the greatest progressive songwriters from yesterday and today. Each week, I'll feature a specific artist and a vinyl spin of the week. It's music that plays to the human condition, Wednesdays at 6 on Thin Air Community Radio.
KYRS is grateful for the many listeners who have donated their vehicles to us. You can join them by donating your unwanted car, truck, minivan, motorcycle, and more. Vehicles are picked up free of charge, sold, and the proceeds help KYRS bring you the programs you know and love. It's easy to donate your vehicle, and it's tax deductible. Just call our toll-free line to arrange a free pickup. 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227. Thank you.
down at an English fair. One evening I was there when I heard a showman shouting underneath the flare, I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are standing in a row. Big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist, that's what the showman said. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Every ball you throw will make me rich. There stands me wife, the idol of me life, singing roly bowl, a ball, a penny, a pitch.
Singing roly bowl, a ball, a penny, a pitch. Singing roly bowl, a ball, a penny, a pitch.
Roly bowl, a ball, roly bowl, a ball, singing roly bowl, a ball, a penny, a pitch. Now that I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts, every ball you throw will make me rich.
Have a banana.
There stands me wife, the idol of me life, singing roly poly, ball, a penny, a pitch. All together now.
Singing roll a ball, a ball, a penny, a pitch.
Harmony.
Singing roll a ball, a ball, a penny, a pitch.
Roly poly, a ball.
Roll a ball, a ball.
Singing roly poly, a ball, a penny, a pitch.
Okay, you are, again, you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, and I'm your host, Captain DJ Maeve, and I'm talking to my friends here, and we're talking about the upcoming autumn fall fundraiser. We've got board member Carol Alice. We've got the chef and owner of Cochinito Taqueria, co-owner of Cochinito Taqueria, Travis Dickinson. We've got Michael Moonbearer, our station manager. We have Rick Clark, who's the founder of Giving Back Spokane. We've got all these folks in this room for about the next 8 minutes. We're going to talk a little bit more. And, again, we had great conversations during the breaks. I mean, that's you folks. We need another feed, I think, while these are going on. But one of the things we're talking about with Travis a little bit was like some of the challenges for the food service industry, and in particular your restaurant. Now, you know, besides the homeless stuff, which we think we've kind of beaten to death a little bit here, how about what are some other challenges that you're facing that are kind of unique in your experience of restauranting?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody running a restaurant right now would unanimously agree that this is the hardest time we've ever faced in just running a profitable business. You know, the pandemic increased the cost of goods substantially, and it has not decreased as it should have. You know, little things like the gloves we all have to wear per the health department to prepare your food. Those things were $16, $18 a box pre-pandemic.
Wow.
Shot up to $40, $50 a box after.
Wow.
And have not come back down to quite where they were. You know, so the little things add up, not just the cost of food, but the supplies, the paper goods, the paper towels, all that. And then the cost of labor's risen. I mean, it's a good thing to see people in our industry making more money and being able to provide for their families and all of that. And that's what we want. We want to nurture an environment where our people can grow and sustain themselves. But that needs to come, you know, at a cost to the guest, unfortunately. And we're in a position, especially in our restaurant, where, you know, you can't raise prices high enough to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, if we were adjusting for inflation on the things that we serve from when we opened to now, I'd be serving $8 tacos. And, you know, people just aren't going to come buy an $8 taco. You
right.
know, it's not the... the way we perceive, you know, that food style, unfortunately. So we're having to find other ways to keep up, and we're having to be really, really creative with how we spend our money, how we raise our money, you know, how we price things on our menu to just survive, you know. And I think everybody's facing it. We're unfortunately at a point where, looking around, we're seeing lots of restaurants close, and we're seeing lots of businesses, not just restaurants, but otherwise small businesses fail. I mean, it's a pretty crucial time for small business in general to try and kind of rethink this. So we need people out there supporting the little guys, you know, keeping the people that are in your community alive, because the options are going to get real thin if we don't.
You know? And your business, is it open 7 days a week? Is it open?
Our downtown location's open. Well, both locations are 6 days a week. Okay. Downtown, we're closed on Sundays, and then the Hayden location's closed on Mondays.
Okay, and normal operating hours and...
Yeah, 11:30 to 9 p.m. pretty much every day of the week.
And it's pretty low-key. You just go in there, you pick up a menu, and you look at the menu and walk up and say what you want, and then they bring the food out to you.
Yeah, exactly. We went with a counter service model, which was something, again, we wanted to be approachable. We wanted to be something that you could come in on a fancy date night pre-show, or just bring the family in for a quick bite on the way home from soccer practice or whatever. So we really wanted to appeal to everybody. And like we were saying earlier, I love looking out there and seeing young people, but I also like that I see a little bit of everyone in our dining room. And I think the service model lends to that. But yeah, you just head on in. Typically, I mean, if we're doing well, there is a line to the door, but we try and get a drink in your hand while you're standing there waiting, and at least engage, make it fun. And that's kind of just become part of the thing, is that. And we turn those tables pretty quick, so people get in, find a spot, and can enjoy their meal. But yeah, you just order at the counter. There's a full bar up there, so drinks are made, put right in your hand before you even scurry away, and then the food comes and finds you.
And when you start looking at like trends and like where, you know, like do you, is that something that you kind of actively research? Like, what are they doing in Portugal or other places?
Yeah, I think coming, you know, from Portland, a bigger city, to this area, that was a trend I saw kind of starting there. And ultimately sort of that, you know, that unfortunately death or change needed in the fine dining situation, where you just can't pay people to take three table sections and, you know, really do it at that high level without making some sacrifice. So we looked at it as, how can we do the things that we're really excited about? Like, what gets me up in the morning? It's high quality ingredients. It's using fine dining technique, and it's, you know, creating some super special stuff. And I can do that on a $4.50 taco just as easily as I can do it on a $52 plate of food. You know, it's just visualizing those tortillas as their own tiny little plates and figuring out a way to make something super artistic and special on those instead. So.
Yeah, they're beautiful plates and a real diverse menu. Michael, why don't we talk one last time about, in case people are tuning in right now, what is the plan? What are we doing here? What's KYRS and Cochinito and Giving Back doing together?
This is, we have our annual fall fun drive, and that is one of the ways that we support the station. We're a nonprofit, even though we are deceptively huge. We're a full power FM station, but we only actually have two paid employees. Everybody else is a volunteer, volunteers from the community that come in to produce community radio. And being community radio, one of the things that we feel is we have an unwritten contract that's there to help other organizations in our community as well, both for-profit and nonprofit, and creating relationships like this with Cochinito Taquerio and Giving Back Spokane, we're able to doing an event essentially that we're already doing, a week-long fund drive. It's like, how can we bring some benefit to other organizations here? And so Cochinito Taquerio, one of the things is that they feel it is part of their social contract to help the community as well. And in addition to that, they get really thousands of mentions and, you know, in elevating their stature and presence in the community, because we'll be talking about them through this interview coming up to that. And then the whole week of the fund drive, we'll be talking about Cochinito. Same thing, looking at a nonprofit like Giving Back Spokane, who has helped so many people, a way that we can pair these two together as well, because Cochinito will be giving meals to Giving Back Spokane to distribute to people in need in the area. So we're taking an event that we already have, being a community station, and expanding it to benefit other organizations as well. That's going to be taking place during the last week of October through November 2nd. That's when that event will be going on.
Okay. Carol, you got any parting words from the board?
Amazing. Every time I come and talk to people that I didn't know so well. I'm just so happy that we can work together. That's it.
All right. That sounds good. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to Out and About today. You are listening to KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. And stay tuned for some more awesome programming.
And now to Eden. Head now to Eden. No more trouble in my body or my mind. Gonna live like a king on whatever I find. Eat all the fruit and throw away the rind. Yay, brother, yay.
Hackers are now investigating his rogue behavior. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
أهلاً وسهلاً أنا مايكل مونبير وأنتو تسمعوا إلى KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1
و 92.3 FM KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford 88.1 FM 92.3 FM Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This is a serious issue. We either comply with international law or we don't. But we only have strength in our arguments because we comply with international law.
As Britain suspends some arms exports to Israel over its war on Gaza, we'll speak to the acclaimed Pakistani-British historian Tariq Ali about Gaza, Pakistan, Antony Blinken's visit to the UK today, and more.
Britain has cut off some arms supplies to Israel, but purely for symbolic reasons. They mean nothing. They have nil impact on the genocide that is taking place in Palestine today.
Then as the official death toll in Gaza tops 41,000, we'll speak to former presidential candidate Ralph Nader about why the death toll may be a vast undercount.
There's going to be 500,000 Gazans who are going to die before the end of this year, not only from the bombing, but from the effect of the bombing in terms of the destruction of the healthcare system, infectious diseases.
We'll also talk to Ralph Nader about tonight's debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In the Gaza Strip, at least 40 Palestinians were killed, scores more injured this morning as an Israeli strike ripped through a tent encampment housing displaced Palestinians near Khan Yunis. Israel had designated the area as a so-called safe zone. Witnesses say at least four missiles ripped through the crowded camp as people slept, engulfing tents in flames, scattering body parts. The United Nations says its efforts to vaccinate hundreds of thousands of Palestinian children against polio were further delayed after members of a UN convoy were detained by Israel's military at gunpoint for more than 8 hours Monday in northern Gaza. This is UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Volker Turk.
Ending the war and averting a full-blown regional conflict is an absolute and urgent priority. Equally, the wider situation of illegality across the occupied Palestinian territory deriving from Israel's policies and practices as so clearly spelled out by the International Court of Justice in its advisory opinion in July must be comprehensively addressed.
Monday marked the traditional first day of school in Gaza, but for a second year in a row, classes are canceled for all of Gaza's school children.